And John will be back shortly with Hours to Protect. But in the meantime, let me go to Anne McKeown, who joins you on the line today with gardening advice. Anne, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you doing?
Good. Now, this type of weather, it's not, is it doing any harm? I'm looking at the same weather you're looking at now because it's shocking wet out there.
It is pretty bad now, all right. Not exactly July weather, is it? But where it would do harm, to answer your question, would be things like petunias and pansies in boxes. They'll get oversaturated and they don't like overwetting and they will not flourish. So your baskets and your boxes may get a bit of a rattling now with this rain. Some rain is always necessary, but persistent rain, not good for those two plants in particular.
All right. And some of the questions we've got in, is it bio or non-bio washing powder that you put on the weeds? Well, it's not the weeds.
Non-bio.
Non-bio. It's not weeds, though. It's the moss, isn't it?
It's moss on the driveway, yeah.
And I have a new lawn, this caller said. It's about 8 weeks old. Can I cut it yet? Also, I have roses too that don't look great. Can I cut them too?
Okay, well, we start with the lawn. Yes, you can indeed cut it, but don't shave it. Just top it, just a gentle topping, and that's all you need to do. And don't lower the blade too low on it, and it'll be grand. It's a young lawn, so you don't want to do any damage. But a little bit of a topping will thicken it up. So that's a good idea when the weather is dry enough to bring the lawnmower through it. And the other question you had there, Keith, was
I have roses too that don't look great.
Yes.
Can I cut them too?
You can, but if you cut them back now, you will interfere with the flowering over the summertime. But roses are getting a real rattling this year. They were doing well, and then all of a shot, the rain came, the black spot came, they got particularly rattled, and people aren't spraying religiously, and it does cause problems. So yes, you can. The answer to the question is yes, you can trim them, but I would go lightly on it. You don't want to cut off everything that the flower buds are, where the flower buds are coming on them. And just, I suppose, in relation to roses, anybody that as usual every year, if you've passed down by the Claddagh church, you will see the most beautiful specimen of roses growing in the inside the grounds of the Claddagh church. So for anybody that's out for a walk or anything on a good day and you want to see a nice specimen of roses, take a wander down to the Claddagh.
Somebody else, what's good for black spot on roses, Anne?
Okay, well, you have a few options. You can go for the chemical option, which is Rose Clear. And Rose Clear kills the black spot and it also kills the green fly. So it's a 2-in-1. And it actually does fungus as well, so it's a 3-in-1. Now, with the Rose Clear, you'd want to spray religiously every 10 days to 2 weeks. Hit and miss is no good. You have to be consistent. So that's the chemical option. A very good option, but it is a chemical option. So bear that in mind. And wear gloves when you're putting it out, and don't spray willy-nilly. Just keep the spray low because you don't want to be inhaling any of the sprays. Now, that's on the chemical line. Now, if you want to go the organic route, you can go and 2 teaspoons of bread soda in 2 gallons of water. 2 teaspoons of bread soda in 2 gallons of water, and water your roses every 10 days to 2 weeks, again religiously, with this mixture. And that will also help the black spot, keep away the black spot on the roses. And another good spray, a natural remedy for the black spot on roses, is half milk, half water, mixed together in a spray can, in a little misty can, and spray your roses with that. Full fat milk now, not skim milk. Half milk, half water, mix it up together and spray your roses with that.
Okay. Somebody said, Anne, I have a polytunnel, I take it is. Mm-hmm. And in it I've sown lettuce, coriander, pak choi, red onions, broccoli and spinach. But the warm weather has made a dog's dinner of it.
Yeah, no, that can be an issue because the humidity can build up and it can get quite clammy inside in a polytunnel, make sure you leave the doors open. Ideally, if you have doors on either end, leave them open so that the wind and the draft can go through. And any kind of a calm day at all, keep the doors in a polytunnel, keep them opened so that it lets through the air. Now, you may need to spray a little bit with the bread soda, the 2 teaspoons of bread soda in the 2 gallons of water, if you've any kind of fungus coming on them. And if you have insects, which you can also get in a clammy polytunnel, particularly whitefly, then spray with something natural. Don't go the chemical route, because you are what you ingest, and you don't want to have sprays on foods that you'd be eating. But you could go for the all natural, nature safe, which is an organic spray made here in Galway. So that would work as well. But ventilation, absolutely vital in a polytunnel.
And I've sown potatoes for the first time this year, and I think I've got potato blight. How would I know?
I doubt you got blight. It wasn't very blighty weather, but I didn't hear too many blight warnings, but that doesn't mean you didn't get it. It could indeed. Your leaves would be kind of a purple colour, and there would be wouldn't be the nice lush green colour. And if you dug up a potato, they'd be purple or black. They would be the main ways that you would know it.
Okay.
The potatoes won't flourish if they have blight.
Okay, so
they definitely won't flourish.
Somebody else said, my neighbour tells me that we've got carrot fly. Is that dangerous for carrots that are sown? I never heard of carrot fly in my life.
Yeah, carrot fly is a devil altogether. Overnight can wipe your carrots out. Now, if you're losing the greenery off the top of your carrots, you definitely have carrot fly. So what you want to do to prevent any damage, if you have no damage already, is to put a little bit of a fence around them. Now, that can be a little polythene, little structure you make yourself, or it can be a timber structure about 1.5 feet high. Because not a top on it now, just a little boundary, a little enclosure, because the carrot fly flies low. Doesn't fly high, flies low. And if you have a barrier that the carrot fly will fly into, literally hits his head and goes away stunned and doesn't do any damage to your carrots. So about 1.5 feet high, a barrier, a polythene and a few sticks will do the trick, timber, anything like that. But just to keep a little bit of a barrier, even a very, 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 very fine net would do it as well, but not one with gaping holes in it, or the carrot fly would get through it.
Okay.
And that will keep the carrot fly. So remember, they fly low, so protect them at a low level.
And final one for you, and this person has grown tomatoes. I water them about twice a week, and unfortunately, they are not flourishing. What would the problem be?
Possibly hunger. Quite hungry eaters. The watering you're doing right, by the sound of it, because it is very important. Remember, a tomato is made up primarily of water. So if you don't give it water, it's not going to
flourish.
It's not going to flourish. Now, hopefully, you haven't got things like blight or anything like that. I'm ruling those things out. I'm hoping you don't have them. I'm thinking maybe food might be the best option. Liquid tomato food, very important.
Okay.
Very important to feed them.
Okay, two other ones that have just come in. I want to try and get through them. Hi, Keith, I put it down a new flower bed, but the weeds keep coming up. Can I do anything about this? Thank you.
Say that again. I didn't hear the first part.
Hi, Keith. I put in a new flower bed down, but the weeds keep coming. Can I do anything about this?
Okay, you can. What you do is, now that you have stuff in it, you don't want to be spraying. So what you can do is clean it out with a hoe. Clean the bed completely now. Make it weed-free with a hoe, and so that it's nice and clean. And then cover all the soil between the shrubs with cardboard or newspaper. 6 or 7, 8 sheets thick of newspaper or just cardboard. Cover all the surface area between the shrubs with that, and cover that with a fine grade bark mulch or with a pebble, and that will keep it relatively weed-free.
We planted spuds in May and they didn't grow. Why?
Could be numerous reasons. I couldn't put my finger on it. one thing that could be is we had a very, very dry spell there, if you remember, for 3 or 4 weeks. And if you weren't watering, your vegetables weren't flourishing. So it yeah. could be as simple as a thing like drought. That could be the problem. You could also have insects in the that are eating the potatoes as they're emerging. So sterilizing the soil before you plant in February, March would be a very good idea. But they're the main reasons. So get your ridges ready in January, February. Dig in some seaweed or some rotten stable manure. Soot from the fire. When you're cleaning the chimney, save the soot and dig the soot in through it, and that will help keep away the insects. And when you're planting your potatoes, dip the potato into the soot before you plant it and coat it, and that will keep away some of the wireworm and some of the problems you might have as well. But it could be as simple as the drought that we got that was the problem.
All right, Anne, thank you for joining us. To Emma Keown joining us there on the line. You can write to Emma Keown, Galway BFM, Sandy Road in Galway. And Anne joins again next Thursday morning on the programme. Next up is Ours to Protect, the ongoing series that we do each and every Thursday around this time. John Morley went out and about, and he'll tell us more about that just after this short commercial break.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Discover exciting global flavours with Tesco's finest barbecue range. That's dinner sorted.
You're very welcome into Ours Protect. I am your host, John Morley, and today on the programme, we are looking at micro dairying and how that can work both ecologically and also economically as well. We'll be speaking with Sinead Moran, who is a farmer from Ballyhaunas, as she's hosting this week's Farming for Nature walk on her local farm. So coming up on the programme today, we'll be discussing all that in great detail. And also, if you want to get involved with the programme, you can do by emailing irisprotect@goibfm.ie. You can also use our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086-38-33-553. You can also ring reception at 091-77-0077. So all that plus lots more to come on Irish Protect between now and the next 5 or 10 minutes. Very good morning to you, and you're welcome into Ours Protect for this Thursday. I had the pleasure of going out to Sinead Moran's farm, her micro dairying business there in Ballyhaunas, earlier in the week, and she talked to me about her Farming for Nature walk, which is taking place this Saturday, with the topic small-scale dairying that works ecologically and economically.
So yes, for us at Glanbuie Farm, we were always, you know, we're limited by our size. And we always say that we like to farm within the natural limits of our farm. So we don't actually see that size thing as a problem. It's more how can we take what we have and build on it. So we were very lucky to start with a farm that had never been farmed intensely. So it had been always managed quite extensively under a suckler system. We still have rich meadows here. The last ground, the last field that was reseeded here was in the 1940s after they stopped growing oats and barley. So we've really old pasture, really old thick hedgerows. And we always started from that really good kind of biodiverse, species-rich base. So everything we've done since we inherited the farm in 2010 has been to conserve that and build on it. So nurture it and kind of increase it more. But there's one element of it, which is farming for the environment. And then you're also trying to farm to make a living. So that's where the micro dairy part of it, being milking 10 cows, it allows us to kind of turn this into a job for us and to be on the farm all the time rather than being part-time farmers. Because it's very hard to be part-time and manage it to a really high environmental standard. So that's why we kind of have to find a way to make it both ecologically and economically secure to do it. So we do multiple things. We kind of, it's not to get too technical, but we do certain things with our pasture management, so how we graze to encourage, say, soil. So we want to build on our soil, so we're trying to, we don't eat our grass really short. We're trying to keep the grass constantly photosynthesizing, so it's constantly bringing down carbon, which is then bringing it into the soil and recycling that. So that's one element of it. The other part of it is we don't eat it really short or cut everything away, because we're also trying to leave lots of space for wildflowers, grass herbs, and other things for pollinators. the added benefit to that is that kind of diversity within the pasture is diverse within the cows, and then that comes through in the milk as well. So you'll find with our milk, we do raw milk, so you still get the cream line on top of it. It's not pasteurized, it's non-homogenized. It's literally, as my partner calls it, teat-to-table milk. So it depends on the field. Because of that diversity, we can have different cream lengths. Sometimes it's really thick, sometimes it's a little bit shallow. It just depends kind of on season and what the cows have eaten. So, yeah, allowing, we're dairy, but we're a very different dairy in the sense that we are trying to work within, say, for example, one of the seasons. So we don't milk when there's no grass growth, we don't milk. So the cows have their time off from December, January, February, and then things start to kick back up as the soil temperatures pick up and growth picks up, because we don't feed any grains here. There's no soy, there's no meal, there's no nuts. It's pretty much all milk from what the cows can forage. So the more diversity that we have in there, the better it is, because the cows can actually get everything that they need nutritionally from that diversity. Our job is just to manage it and to allow them access to it.
And you can definitely see there is great biodiversity in the area, a lot of natural woodland around the place, hedgerows, rushes. There's a lot of, you know, nature has been let do its course for a lot of the parish around here.
Pretty much, yeah. If you can rewild in a managed sense, I think that's probably what it can look like sometimes. We're sometimes the best form of management when you're trying to farm for nature is lack of, in the sense that nature doesn't always need to be managed by us. And that's a hard thing to get around, because I think a lot of people we're still caught in that loop of, you know, tidy. The ditches being tied here, the rushes being, you know, no one likes to see rushes in their field, but look at, they have a place, not necessarily always a good thing, but they are a sign. So what we're trying to do is not to overmanage and intensify the system, and instead trying to figure out, take a different perspective and say, okay, well, what's that telling us? So for example, the rushes going up that hill is because of compaction. So that field, before we took it over, might have been managed a little bit heavier, might have been tractors on it, the cows might have been over it a little bit too long in an extensive system that creates compaction. Roots, the roots of the of dock leaves and roots of rushes, their job is to break that compaction up. So actually, right now, them rushes are doing a job for the soil below the ground that we can't see. And I think that's probably the most management that we try to take is think about what's happening underneath, what we can't see, rather than what we can see.
And it's great as well if there's an actual incentive economically for farmers to go green and to do that. Have you found that in what you're doing here? Are you able to, right, say, look, the milk we have 10 cows, it's small scale, we can offer a premium product and get paid better for it?
Yeah, like, so we've been very lucky from the start. We, through our social media, through our website, through Farm Walks, being a very open farm, we've always been really clear with the customer what we're trying to do here. So when a customer is buying our milk, they're supporting the way we farm and they're supporting the type of farm that is. And we don't get a lot of we certainly don't have any entitlements, which is a payment that comes through the Common Agriculture Policy. We don't have that. So that means we don't have a BPS payment, all those kind of things. So actually, for the first time this year or last year, we applied to the NPWS, which is the National Wildlife and Park Services. And they have a fantastic scheme called the Farm Plan. I actually think it's open right now. So if there's any farmers that are interested in it, they should look into it. But with the NPWS, we've worked with an ecologist who came out to our farm, and we have a plan put in place to fill in gaps in our hedgerows where trees have fallen down. We're planting in 1.5 kilometers of more hedgerows in our 17 acres here, and they're actually going to pay us to farm exactly as we've been farming, because they've come out, they've scored it, and they've deemed it of a high nature value, a species rich grass. So basically, for the first time, we'll get a government payment. And it's small. It definitely wouldn't pay any farmer to stay farming. We want to farm within the limits of what we have, and we want to do that well, both economically, so that it pays us, and ecologically. And what we do is not necessarily scalable for every farm, but there's definitely elements of what we're trying to do here that can be done on all farms. even intensive, if the right supports are there. And I think when we talk particularly about climate action and biodiversity, you know, we need to talk about transitions and how can we transition to better systems and also bring farmers with us. And probably the best way to do that is through payment schemes that are designed by ecologists who know what they're doing.
And that's where we'll have to leave it for this week. And that Farming for Nature walk takes place on Sinead Moran's farm there on this coming Saturday, the 8th of July at 11 o'clock. So get on to farmingfornature.ie for more details on that and to register your place on the walk. We'll be back again the same time next week for more Hours to Protect. If you want to get involved with the programme, you can take the ecological survey on hoursprotect.ie. You can also take a quick survey as well on what type of eco and environmental programme you would like to see on your local radio station. I've been John Morley. Until next Thursday at 11:30, this is Hours to Protect.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out hoursprotect.ie for more info.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Look for the Price Cuts logo across hundreds of products in-store and online.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Keith Finnegan with you until 12 midday. Delighted to be joined by Daniel O'Donnell, who joins me on the line today. And he's with me there. Daniel, morning to you.
Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's the weather like in Donegal today? Because it's shocking in Galway.
Well, I have now a week... What is confession to make? I was thinking, what is it? I'm actually in Tenerife.
Well, good on you. And the weather there is lovely, I'm sure, today.
It is lovely, surely to God now, if you can't be complaining. But now we can't complain at home either, because we had great weather.
Oh, we did.
I would say, I think we must have nearly 2 months, was it?
Well, I'd say we had six, seven weeks. We definitely had, Jeff.
Yeah, there. So... this is maybe a wee bit of water just to keep things going as we come back, hopefully, again.
I'm kind of hoping that it does clear for the weekend, because people like it at the weekend. Listen, you're on the road in August, so you are right through from beginning to end, so you deserve to be in Tenerife right now, taking some time out. And you're coming to Galway on the 19th of August.
We are. We're coming back to Leisureland. We're starting in Athlone on the 11th of August, and then we finish in Cork at the end of the month on the 30th. And we're sort of all places in between: Castlebar, Galway, Dublin, Derry, Belfast, wherever. And looking forward to getting around. I mean, this is the first tour we've done now since 2019. We were in Killarney, mind you, last year. But, you know, with all of the postponements when the lockdown was on, it was, you know, just had to be done. The Killarney dates had to be done before we did another tour. So here we are now.
But you're going to some lovely places. You're going to the Radisson Hotel in Athlone on the 11th, the National Opera House in Wexford on the 12th, which is absolutely stunning. The waterfront in Belfast on the 14th, the Fair Old Trek, Millennium Forum in Derry, which is beautiful, on the 15th, the Great Northern Hotel in Bundoran on the 17th, you'll be in Leisureland 19th, the Steve Russell Hotel in Ballyconnell on the 22nd, Mount Wolseley Hotel in Tullow on the 23rd, UCH in Limerick, you're in the Royal Theatre in Castlebar on the 26th, Bord Gáis in Dublin 27th, and the Cork Opera House, which is beautiful. You're there for two nights, 29th and 30th.
Yeah. No, we're looking forward to them all. You know, we do kind of every other year. This last while, you know, before COVID, we kind of did 1 year, we did a tour all round, and then the next year we went to Killarney. And it's always nice to get out and about. And Leisureland is a grand venue. I mean, we always have a great night there. It's great to have venues like that in any city, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That can facilitate, you know, a good crowd. And there's always a great atmosphere.
You'd put 1,300 people into Leisureland, and they're going to spend an awful lot of money on it.
I suppose so, yeah.
But you're
it's always good.
They're going spending a huge amount of money on it, so they are. So it's going to become a convention centre eventually with this.
Well, you know, it's no harm, because, like, it's a good investment, because I think all these things, like the Lake of Leisureland, is a good size, and it's important to keep things up and make it, you know, take it up to today's level. And it brings people to the city too. And I mean, if you're going to have a convention place, it'll bring a lot more people. So that's always a plus.
Absolutely. And come here now, you and I are the one vintage. We're 62 children, so we are at 61 years of age. And do you still enjoy it as much as you did when you were when you started out?
I do enjoy it. I suppose, you know, now, looking from where I am, I kind of look, and I have to say, you're very kind. I'm actually the end of 61, so I'll be 62 before you.
Oh, you were 60. Oh, you're the end of 61.
I just got in before the end. Yeah. I was December the 12th. So I have my 62nd birthday this year. But anyway, thanks be to God to be getting to 62. Many people don't get to
Absolutely.
It. So people say, what do you feel about getting older? I said, well, the alternative is not to be discussed. So it's always, every year you get is fantastic. Yeah. But I was just saying there, you know, I do enjoy it. And, you know, so many people have followed me. At 40 years this year, I started my first band. In July, I was 2 years with Margaret before that, and from 1981, I started in January 1981 with her.
Wow.
And 40 years this year, in February, I made the first record, My Donegal Shore and Stand Beside Me. So it's amazing, really, when you look back. So when I go out now, you're kind of reminiscing with all the songs like Stand Beside Me and My Donegal Shore and Take Good Care of Her and I Want to Dance With You and the laddie-da that sort of comes up to now and the Tipperary Girl. I've been lucky in our house as a home. I've been lucky with, you know, songs that I've got to record that there's a scatter in them throughout the night. You know, that sometimes, you know, I suppose this, you go to shows and you wait all night for one or two songs, you know. But I was lucky that I had a sort of wee hits now and again that kept the thing going.
I was going through the programme schedule for today, last night, and I was sitting around the table at home last night, having a cup on tea, and I just said, no, this is going to drive people mad now. I said, Alexa, play Daniel O'Donnell. And the music came on going back all those years, and it was just, I left it on for about a half an hour. But I mean, the music hasn't dated. It has aged, but not dated.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, when you listen to them, of course, on the early recordings, my voice is younger, and that's way I was then.
That's fine.
That's a fact of life. But, you know, the songs were great. They were good songs. And if you like that type of music, which I loved, it was a great time. I was supposed on at a great time, and that I kind of came in the 80s and that period, when I started, people were saying, in the music business, and I can understand why discos were taken off and
transition
from dance halls all that kind of thing. People were saying, oh, the music business is finished. But I never believed that, and I never believe it even now, because for young people that want to start, they will breathe new life into the music business. So don't ever think, if that's what you want to do, that it's finished. It's
that's
never
right.
finished, because it's waiting on you to give it new blood. And there's always room for a new person. People say to me, what advice would you give? I said, there's always room for you. There's never room for another me.
It's a very good way of putting it. Now, you're in Ireland, you know, on the 19th of August. It's a Saturday night. Where's the best place to get tickets, Daniel?
Well, I suppose, Leisureland is on Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And if you go to the website, danieloDonnell.org, there's a link there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that there's that many tickets left for Leisureland. I don't know what's left, but I always think coming up to the show, there's always tickets returned because there's always people that can't go. For one reason or another, maybe leading up to it, and you might be lucky. Now, Castlebar, I think, has tickets because it's a much bigger venue.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are there a few left in Limerick? I'm not sure.
You've,
but, all the shows have been great. They're all selling great.
You have a soft spot though for Galway, so you have, because I know you went to college here and then Mary T.
I did. I stayed up in Renmore with Sean and God rest Pat Nugent.
Yeah.
I stayed with them, and I was at the regional college. Now, I didn't stay long. I have no papers to show for it. Although somebody that was at the college contacted me and said there was a way I could finish the course. I don't know how, and I don't know how to get back to him now, because it was only a quick message, and I don't know how I would do that, you know, because I have no letters of any kind after my name.
What I'll do is I'll get on after the program.
Chancer, maybe, but nothing else.
Chancer, dancer. I'll get on to Orla Flynn, who's a wonderful president. Oh, it's now called the Atlantic Technological University. So I'll get on to her, and I get her people to talk to your people.
God save, I didn't stay long, and if I was only there for 3 months, and I remember... as I said, I was staying with Pat and Sean Nugent up in Renmore, and I came back after Christmas, and I remember Pat, God rest her, she was standing, and she was such a nice but very, very practical, direct woman. And I was talking to Sean just last week, or a few days ago actually, because Mary Teresa Friel had passed away, his sister, and I hadn't been talking to her. Mary Teresa was great when
she
I was there
yeah.
to her in art. God rest her.
I miss that funeral.
Have you to go to the news or something?
Not I might at all, no, you're grand. I have 5 minutes.
But I came in the door and I said to Pat, I'm just back from my stuff. I said, I'm not going to stay at this college. I said, I'm going to sing. And I remember she was washing dishes or something at the sink. And I don't even know that she turned round properly. I think she just turned her head and she says, would you not be better to learn something first? I used to, at the shows then, when we started doing well, I remember I used to say, tell the story, and Pat would be there and she'd shake the head as much as to say, there was no good in me talking. But I always had a great time there, and they were so kind to me, you know. And a lot of the people that I met at the college, still I see some of them coming to the shows.
Good.
And, you know, there's a connection. So, anyway,
I didn't realize too much now. That's the age we're at. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I could tell them all about their grandparents. I remember your grandfather. I remember this fella and that from the other. But Mary T had a great soft spot for you as well, and Art.
Mary T was fantastic. Well, Art, of course, was from Donegal. And Margaret stayed with them, you know, in her early days of her career.
Yeah.
And up in Lenina Heights. And Mary T, of course, had a long illness with dementia or Alzheimer's, which you would never believe. She was such a smart woman. It's a terrible disease, you know, the dementia and Alzheimer's. Magella's mother has it as well, and she's very well cared for in St. Mary's there in Galway. They're a terrific...
Oh, they're lovely.
It's a terrific home, and we're very grateful to them.
And do you get up and down fairly often? You do?
I was there a few times and sang a few songs a few times. The last time I was in, Mark Roberts came in with me, so we had a nice hour or so singing a few songs for them. But anyway, God, I don't even know what I was talking about. That's a sign of the times, too.
19th, we were talking about dementia. My own mom died over there a few months ago as well, so it's not nice, but look at all you can do is keep singing. 19th of August, again, 2023, it's a Saturday night, Leisureland is where you're going to be. Now, come here to me, Tenerife, better weather. Do you go for a walk now every day?
Well, I would. I'm here. The reason I'm here, I normally would never be here in the summertime, but Siobhan and Gavin and the three children are here, and I come to babysit at night so that if they want to go out, they can get out.
Oh,
and the three wee ones, we have a great time. Just, it's great to be with them. The wee girl, she'll be 8 now in the beginning of August, and the wee boy is 5, and one of the boys, and the weeest fella, will be 2 in October. So today they're away to the water park, the Agua Land, and I'm just sitting here doing the few
talking to me.
Then at night time, I take over the reins. So that's the job I've assumed.
Good on you. Well, it's a nice job to have, so it is. But get a walk.
It's great. We're blessed.
Are you left alone when you're walking, or will people pull you up and ask?
Oh, God, I surely to God.
You don't mind that.
Bothers you.
You don't mind.
No. And if they do, sure, what odds?
Listen, enjoy the weather. And I know Mark Roberts is around the 19th of August as well. And you and he are good friends. And you had a great time on the cruise recently. I saw some of the photographs.
Sure, you know, Mark is great on the cruise. He's only assumed that position recently, the regular host and compere for the cruise, retired from that position. And Gertrude was looking for somebody, and she, you know, asked me and said about Mark, and I said, no better man.
Oh, no.
And he just is fantastic, and he's such a positive, bright personality, you know. And of course he sings a bit too on the cruise, but his main function is that he's kind of the link between all of us on every show, you know. He's just, he holds it all together, and he does a super job. Mark and I know one another for a long, long time. And I first met him down in Greig na Mana. We were doing a concert for Carmel Dawson, and Mark was on. Uh-huh. And that's the first place I met him. And we just clicked and, you know, kept a friendship going all the years. And he's a great talent. He's brilliant on the radio, but a great singer and a super songwriter.
Listen, we'll tell him that he's away today, so he is. But listen, we look forward to you coming to Galway, 19th of August. Daniel, thanks for joining us. And enjoy the babysitting tonight now. And not too much sweets or sugar for the children, please, if you don't mind, or yourself either. That's it for today, but thank you indeed to Daniel for joining us. If you want to get further details, go to Daniel's website, 19th of August. It's a Saturday, so it is. And further details can be had from there. We've quite a few comments coming in too today, but we'll deal with them tomorrow. With some people giving out about roadworks that are going on. Look at these things happen, so they're doing, they have to be done. Somebody else has given out as to why the mental unit in Ballinasloe was not renovated for Ukrainians. It's in a shocking condition, windows broken, etc. Why isn't that done? Keith, give my regards to Daniel. I'd love to be in Tenerife as well. Tenerife is lovely. Look at Ireland is lovely as well. And Keith, we also planted spuds, and the spuds didn't come up. Not responsible for it. Promise, I'm responsible for a lot of things, but not the spuds. Tomorrow morning, by the way, on the programme, we'll be looking at the memorial walk this weekend to raise funds for a charity on the anniversary of mine and McNamara's husband who passed away. Family Carers Ireland join us. City Tribune headlines, retirees show sign of wanderlust in a new survey. The Galway Film Flair update, we'll give you details on that. We have sports preview. And a Connemara woman starts a community walk to overcome rural isolation and depression. So she joins us tomorrow. And two of Ireland's leading visitor attractions come together to share three common loves of the Connemara pony. So all of that and more tomorrow morning on the programme. That is it for today. John Morley produced. And Siobhan took all of your comments, but I'll be joining you live from Studio One tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news. Have yourselves a good and a safe Thursday. If you're out driving today, will you just give yourself plenty of time, because the roads are fairly wet, so they are. New voice on the radio, Ronan is still on annual leave. Tony Scott takes over shortly. He's here today and tomorrow because Mark is off working elsewhere. So Tony is here. So stay tuned for a new fresh voice here as well. But from John Morley and myself and all the crew, have yourselves a good and a safe Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow just after the 9 o'clock news. Bye-bye.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Enjoy a delicious time-saving meal tonight. That's dinner sorted.